we form this group soul body together. And wherever you go, when you leave this place, that energy field goes with you. It does not stay in this room. It does for a period of time, but it goes with all of us. And that's a very good thing, because then wherever you are, all of us are there too, you see? And it makes it a very, very sweet kind of consciousness. This evening I want to talk about one of my most favorite subjects. All of them are my favorites, but this in particular is a favorite of mine. And when I was speaking with a friend of mine and looking at her brochure, on her energy field around her, she describes herself as a teacher of enlightenment. And everybody in this room has within them a being that is totally enlightened, totally love, totally all-knowing, with all wisdom that ever has been, is now, and ever shall be. Now, isn't that wonderful to know? And this being, of course, is the resonating vibration that is in our hearts and is called our soul. Our soul is this absolutely incredible, magnificent consciousness which is available to us 24 hours a day unceasingly. Now, having said that, when I began to do my soul work, the divine said to truly embody the soul through all of our humanity as well is a journey unto itself. And so one of the things that we are looking at is three simple statements, but are jam-packed with energy. The first is that God is love. Would everybody agree with that? God is love. I agree with that. The second is, you are love. Would you agree with that? Everybody nod your heads up and down so I know everybody's on the same page. Okay, everybody, I'm love. Therefore, we are God. Everybody nod your heads up and down. Okay. When we know that God is love and we are love, then we are God. Now, the first time I made that statement, someone came up to me and said, I don't believe any of that. And I said, thank you. I am so glad that you're holding the opposite pole. You're holding the non-belief, and I'm holding the belief. And so we make perfect harmony, because we're here to learn through polarities, yes? And so he was quite astounded. And I said, and if you ever decide that you might want to believe even one of those statements, well, that'd be perfectly all right, because I don't mind holding the opposite pole either, because I know the truth of what really is. So when we move forward in our own integration of this extraordinary energy, which is the soul, we begin to realize that there isn't anything which is not soulful, full of soul. And each of us has found the place that holds that soulfulness for us. And if we go around the room and we would say, what is one thing that is soulful for you? Think of one thing, because we're going to go around the room. Something that is soulful for you. And I'll start with Laura.
My connection with people.
Her connection with people. Okay?
Nature. I don't know if that's...
Nature, absolutely. Yeah.
I was going to say walking in nature.
Walking in nature.
The animals.
The animals.
Nature.
Nature.
Solitude.
Solitude.
Singing.
Singing.
Writing.
Writing.
Yeah, I should keep with my wife.
Oh, thank you, darling.
Giving. Caring. I would say nature.
Yeah, I would say nature too. Loving kindness. And a connection with animals.
Sharing with people.
All elements of life.
Mm-hmm. And all of us are so aware of that when we're there. And to take that awareness that comes in those special places where we find that at-one-ment that is so sweet and clear and beautiful, and then to be able to bring it into those moments when we don't necessarily feel at the feeling level that that love is present. So this evening I wanted to read two poems, and each one represents a particular aspect of energy that I think is very sweet. As you see, I have 1,000 markers in my book because I love all of these so much. It's very hard to choose one. This is from St. Francis of Assisi, and I'll read a little bit about him because he was an extraordinary man. He lived from 1182 to 1226. He is the most beloved saint of the Western world. His love of nature and his hymns to the sun, moon, earth, and birds have captured the hearts of millions of people, and he is respected by people of all faith. This saint achieved the highest state of consciousness possible to a man, a divine union with God. It was easy to love God in all that was beautiful. The lessons of deeper knowledge, though, instructed me to embrace God in all things. And this is Teresa of Avila. Teresa of Avila, she lived from 1515 to 1582, is undoubtedly the most influential female saint in the Western world. She has made great contributions to spiritual literature and poetry. She is a woman of tremendous courage who rightfully credited with remarkability political and religious reforms that were achieved against great odds. We bloomed in spring. Our bodies are leaves of God. The apparent seasons of life and death our eyes can suffer, but our souls, dear, I will just say this forthright, they are God. We will perish, and then we can never perish unless God does. For me, all of the mystics, including myself, we all are aware that that aspect and relationship of the divine is not only very intimate, but extremely expanded. And what we realize is that in every moment we're at choice. Will this moment be filled with divine consciousness, or will this be filled with our ego personality doing what it wants, when it wants, when it wants it? Will we find a balance between that which is the divine within us and that which the ego is seeking to have its own way? And for me, my experience with opening and enfolding that part of myself, that ego personality, was to be able to honor that it was giving me lessons that I needed. We have these soul agreements that we make prior to the body, when we come into the body, that says, all right, am I really going to wake up this time? Or am I just going to do the wheel? And if we decide that we really want to wake up, then there are going to be characteristics that we have that are going to really allow us to become more and more awakened once we realize that those characteristics may not be the negativity that we expected, but rather an opportunity to learn and grow and change what we might have perceived as negative into something that is positive. The same thing is true as we move through our lives and the people that we encounter. I can remember vividly having a friend that I truly adore. I still adore. She's one of my very good friends. And people would say to me, how can you have her as a friend? She's the most cranky, irritable, irascible. She's just really hard to be around. And I said, really? I said, I've never actually known that about her. So, of course, the reflection of this friend about my friend, what was going on with her? Okay? And because I'm sure my husband might say, yes, Mary's irascible sometimes, if that is true, but not all the time. So, when I was not irascible, my friend was not irascible, right? So I was embracing her the way I met her. And the fact that my other friend was saying she's so irascible and so difficult, it was because when they were together, it was like this. So when we grow in our knowing of the truth of our being, we are far more likely to embrace anything that is within us that is less than love. If we do not embrace something that is loving within us, it is very hard for us to love that part of us that really might have some negative energy. And when I was doing my psychological homework and I was working with a therapist, the idea of the imprinting of that positive and negative energy that we receive from both our mother and father and how we take those in, every sibling has a different story. Four siblings. When we talk, it's like we didn't even show up in the same house. You know, I'll say, well, my perception of this experience was, and they'd say, that isn't it. My perception is, and then they tell theirs, and they tell, you know. And I was just aghast. I'd go, wow. And at one point, three of us out of the four were working together with a therapist, and I explained a situation, and my brother looked at me and he said, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I went, this is very far out. But I realized that often the same experience by each person is so totally different in the interpretation of what the events were, what the outcome was, what we brought to the table in that moment, and it is remarkable that we all survived and could sit in a room and talk about it. So that was a great gift. So here we are with this ego personality that is full of itself. And as we grow in our consciousness and as we are willing to embrace those energies, then the most remarkable thing happens. And this is what I feel is part of our soulfulness. That which we have held out here, let's say this is the energy of soul, that which we have held out here, as we grow in our consciousness, as we grow in our love and compassion, then almost inexorably, that which has been set aside comes into alignment. And when that happens, there isn't a separation again, but that is maintained because this energy of who we really are is all-embracing by its very nature. And often, as we were told, it's easy to love that which is beautiful and that which is kind and that which is gentle. But the divine has asked that we embrace everything. Everything. And that includes everything within us. And my own experience of myself was like this. Let's see. How shall I do this? Okay. I'm going to say it backwards. I'll do it like this. Okay. This is what Mary looked like for a lot of people. Everybody get that? Okay. Then Mary started to change. And one of my friends, and she did this right in front of me, so that's what I'm doing in front of y'all. She does nuts, looks like this. Something that is more willing to allow for this extraordinary release of separation and coming into a sense of union and communion within the soul, within that soul context, and allowing a sense of freedom that we cannot have as long as there is that separation. And I have had the awareness of individuals who work in spiritual consciousness that they really have a separation like this between what is their spiritual life and what is their humanity. And I feel that when we attune to the divine which we are and we allow the soulfulness that is present within us, then this is what happens. This is what happens. And that doesn't mean that we become holier than thou. On the contrary, I believe we become more human, and we certainly become more compassionate, because who are we compassionate with first and foremost? Ourselves. The first time I ever heard about compassion, I said, well, I don't believe I have that. Didn't believe I had an ounce of it, because I had not been brought up with that concept of compassion. But then, as I opened to it, I realized through the animals, through nature, through beauty, through song, through dance, through all the things that made my heart sing, I had learned compassion. But I didn't know that that's what it was. I didn't know what it was until I realized that it didn't make any difference who was there or what was there. My heart was open to what was present. And knowing that, something inside me just relaxed. Do you know what I'm saying? Something relaxes when you finally just say, okay, all right, let's just open and let's just embrace this. Let's just hold this just as it is. Not saying, well, you know, if you just change, I'd like you a lot more. No, that's not a possibility, folks. I'm sorry. What you're doing is saying, just the way you are. Just the way you are. And to hold that embracing love, that extraordinary capacity that we have as human beings to do it not only to the person who's right beside us or in front of us or in our lives, but the whole of humanity. Everybody. All the time. No matter what is going on. The first time that I heard about some of the great atrocities that had happened in World War I and World War II, I was totally taken aback. I couldn't believe that human beings could treat other human beings that way. But then I realized that there was a huge impetus in these polarities, a huge impetus for the good, and there was also a huge impetus for that which was less than good. Yes? And because of the energies of the earth plane and the fear and separation with which we are taught as children, until we come to at-one-ment within ourselves, we cannot experience at-one-ment with all that is happening around the world. If you have fragments, part of yourself, that you have not yet embraced and brought into your love, then the world itself is going to feel very fragmented, and you're going to feel that there is much that cannot be loved and that which can be loved. And if we allow ourselves to grow our hearts and grow our compassion and grow our love sufficiently, then there will be nothing that is outside our love. And part of what we do to achieve that is what I call building our spiritual muscle. You have to build this muscle and have it be strong enough that even when you hear, see, and right now, with everything that happens in the mind of Mother, the Divine Mother Earth, we know about it almost instantaneously. I mean, you know, you have whatever electronic equipment you have that you carry around in your hand, if it's on your desk, wherever it is, your phone, it doesn't make any difference. Instantaneously, you can know what's going on. And we are barraged with, it appears, more negative than positive. Because what makes news? The positive, the negative, okay? So it is for us to be able to say, okay, all of this is occurring, the entire barrage of energies, and to be able to hold that and honor that in the holding of it, in the loving energy, the potential for change is far greater than if we resist or if we judge it as negative and bad. It will hold that energy if that is what we bring to it. But if we say, on the contrary, what I will do is embrace this. I will embrace this. And the potential of change is very profound. The definition of change that the Divine gave me is this. Change is an aspect of love. That's very important. Change is an aspect of love going from the present vibration to a higher vibration in an upward spiraling pattern. Now, why can't we just go in a straight line? Because the ego needs all of this time to be able to make the change that will occur. So if we say that all change is love, then we look at our lives and say, well, what'll I change today? Let me see. What little old thing? Start with something really kind of small, you know, some little doodah day over here. And just take a look at that and say, maybe I'll just start with that. Well, that'll be enough. You just pour your love on that, okay? Love, 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 all right? Change is an aspect of love. And then sure enough, it will begin to change. Whatever that energy is that we've been holding on to. And sometimes we think those negative things are really precious because we need to be protecting ourselves. We need to be defending ourselves. We need to have that just in case. You know, the worst in scenario where we're going to have to defend and protect. Everybody knows what that's like. Hmm? Everybody nod your heads up and down. Okay. Now, once we say, okay, the possibility for change is all around us and within us. And I'll give you an example. I am a recovering perfectionist, a recovering workaholic, and a recovering codependent. Now, are any of these familiar to anyone here? Everybody nod your heads up and down. Okay. Now, the perfectionism I needed in my profession. It had to be perfect, and I was paid to make it perfect, okay? And then it began to kind of seep out, that perfectionism, in all different ways, right? Ooh, gosh, yuck. Awful. Can laugh at it now. But then, right? But then it was like, do or die. It had to be perfect. And then everything else had to be perfect. You know? I couldn't just keep the perfection right here and just let other things go along as they were. No, 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 no. And it's a very big task to keep everything perfect. It takes a lot of energy, and you have to work on it every day. And if anybody doesn't do it right, you know, God, it was amazing. And then I finally had to take a look at that and say, you know what? Keep the perfection in this box, and over here, it can just be however it needs to be, okay? And I have learned that most incredible word called flexibility. Oh, how important. If that isn't the God quality, I don't know what is. Flexibility. To be able to have that flexibility. And because most of us would like to go, wait a minute. Instead, we could go, well, we could be a little more flexible here. We could. And so we practice it. And then suddenly it becomes easier, does it not? And we go, wow, that is pretty cool. Okay. So I'm recovering. Sometimes it gets the better of me, but Michelle will be a testament to the imperfections that I just continually bring forward. Oh, boy. And then I get to laugh at them, which is even better. So I'm still recovering in that area. Now, in terms of really being codependent, this was in combination with being a workaholic. I grew up in a family where everything had to be done on time, perfectly, in order, and no ifs, ands, or buts. And you had to do for the other. There was no focus at all on self. Self was not important. It was always the other. And growing up with that, of course, in my practice marriage, I married a man who I could take care of and be sure he was okay and everything would be all right. And if it wasn't, then it was my fault. Is this familiar to any of the women in the room? And so I finally realized that this was not okay. And I said to him, I think we need to go to therapy and work on this. And he said, I won't go to therapy. And I said, well, then we can't go on like this because it's so painful. It's so painful. And I realized that I had never learned how to take care of myself. This Christmas, one of the dancers from my dance company was here in before Christmas, and I was talking with her. We've talked over many, many years about many of the things I'm speaking of now. And I said to her, do you have compassion for yourself? And she said, what? I said, compassion for yourself. She said, no. She said, my whole life is about being compassionate with others. She said, I've never even thought about myself. She said, I've got to call my sister right this minute. So she picks up the phone, she calls her sister, and she said, sister's name is Becky. She said, Becky, are you compassionate? Do you have compassion for yourself? Becky said, no, I've never thought of that. What is that? How do you do that? I mean, it was marvelous. This completely changed the life of this individual. And we just talked recently, and she said, all that energy that I was putting out in compassion for others, it was my life to just do the most compassionate thing I could for everybody in my life. And she said, suddenly, to have that compassion for myself, she said, I can't even tell you what's happened. It's unbelievable. I have changed. Inside out, I've changed. And I went, wow. So in our journey through all these levels of whatever works in our world or doesn't work in our world, to have compassion for ourselves while we're going through whatever the changes are. And we are always going to go through changes, darling, right? The only constant in life is change. I will repeat that. The only constant in life is change. And you will continue, if you choose, to change. Now, I like to change like this, in the inchworm fashion. Just let me do it in little bits, and I'd be really happy. But if you say, not tomorrow, whoosh, finished, I would go, I don't think so. Because these energies are so profoundly entrenched, right? And they have served a purpose, else we wouldn't have them. And we had soul agreements about the parents that we would have and the family we'd come in, yes? We have soul agreements about that. And so I had to acknowledge that I needed to embrace all the negative and positive imprinting that I had received, because it was very important. If I was going to be soulfully present, right, which is the aim that we're moving toward, to be soulfully present, I first have to embrace all that inside myself. So this was huge, huge for me. And as I moved forward and I began to look at the workaholism, which was really huge, because of my profession, it meant that I worked from dawn till dusk and then at night, and often I would be dancing 8 to 10 hours a day. And we would start with a 3-hour class in the morning. We'd take a break. Then we would do improv and composition. We'd take a break. Then we would rehearse whatever was going to happen. And we would either have performance in the evening or I would teach a 3-hour class for professional dancers. And I did that for years, 7 days a week. And never occurred to me that I might be a little workaholic, because that's what everybody did. If you go and dance, that's what you did. So then when the time came that I wasn't going to be dancing on stage that much, then I was choreographing. So I would be choreographing with ice skaters starting at 4 a.m. on the ice until they went to school at 8. And then I would go and work with choreography with my dance company. I would have lunch. Then I would go back and I would work with the ice skaters in the afternoon when they got out of school. And then in the evening, I would go and work with the gymnasts. And I would go to bed at 10 o'clock at night, and I'd get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd be on the ice at 4 o'clock in the morning. And people would say, how do you do that? I said, I got plenty of energy. I love doing it. No problem. Well, that is true. But it was still a little over the top. So, and I spent years doing that. And then when the time came that I said, I think I really have to heal this, because this is not okay. And as I began to honor that I'd had this extraordinary life, and I was 50 when I made this decision, okay? So that's a long time. I started dancing when I was 5 years old, and I made it to 50. Okay. At 50, I said, I think maybe something needs to change here. And what was changing, of course, was not only the love within myself, but also the compassion for myself, and looking out with eyes that were now soulful eyes, because going along with this extraordinary life that I had had was the evolution of my divine consciousness, you see? And all of that was evolving while all these other energies were unfolding. So, when the time came and the divine said, you're not going to dance anymore, you're not going to choreograph anymore. And I was living in Colorado at the time. And I said, I beg your pardon? This is who I am. This is my life. And the divine said, I want you to lie down on the floor, and I don't want you to move until I tell you to move. At the time, I was living with a guy, thank goodness, who cooked. So I lay down on the floor, and he would bring me something to eat in the morning. He'd go off to work. He'd work his 9 hours. He'd come back. He'd say, you're still on the floor. I said, I haven't moved. He said, what are you doing on the floor? I said, I am doing what the divine has told me to do. But while I was on the floor, and this lasted several months, I call it my house coat period because I never got dressed. I would have these massages. I call them divine massages. I would actually feel hands manipulating the cellular matter in my body, all over my body. It was absolutely incredible. And of course, I'd had the voice within since I was a little girl, and the voice within would be speaking to me, and you know, I was receiving teachings, and all kinds of amazing things were happening. And this went on, as I say, for several months, and it was amazing. And needless to say, eventually this guy left. He said, this scares me to death what you're doing. He said, you're just lying on this floor like a corpse, you know. I said, I got to do it. Then one day, the divine said to me, now you may stand up, but you may only move in slow motion. So you can imagine what it was like when you wanted to have a bite to eat. And you said, I just want a bite to eat here. Okay, I got this little bite here in my fingers, and I'm very slowly now, salivating, of course. I'm going to take this little thing, and it's almost there, Mary, hang on. Okay, girl. All right, now, and you couldn't eat at normal speed. You couldn't chew at normal speed. Of course not, because it was slow motion. Now I had to swallow it. Now, Thich Nhat Hanh, the great Vietnamese Buddhist monk teacher, and certainly revered enlightened being, calls that mindfulness. Well, I became extremely mindful during those times when I could only move in slow motion. I still couldn't dress, and I still couldn't go outside. And weeks passed, and then finally the divine said, now you may dress, and now you may go outside. So I dressed, and I was told, now you're going to just walk in slow motion outside. So then I walked in slow motion outside. And eventually I was told, you're to call these six people on the phone and invite them to come to the house, and they're to sit with you, and that's what it's all about. I said, fine. So I called the six people. I said, can you come to my house? I've just gone through this extraordinary thing, and your names are the ones, and will you come? And they said, sure. So there were six women. Six women showed up. I said, now, the divine has said we're supposed to lie down on the floor to do this. And several of them were, you know, had been meditating and, you know, the position. And one of them said, I cannot lie down to do this. I have to be in my position. I said, fine. I said, but just get ready, because all of us are going to be lying down. So I have no idea what's going to happen, but that's the deal. So the five of us, we got down, and she was, you know. And suddenly she just went, She couldn't sit up. The energy was just like, lie down. So we would just lie down together on the floor, and they would have that experience of this energy doing this incredible work at the cellular level inside of our bodies and on our skin. Everything was just quite amazing. One thing happened after another, and I share this with you because it was the only way to break that cycle of those energies that I had been so imbued with in my childhood that I believe that was truth, that I had to be a perfectionist, I had to be a workaholic, and I had to be codependent. And when all you know is your own identity through work, and my identity in my spiritual consciousness was also very strong, but I had not integrated the two of them. You understand what I'm saying? This was over here, and this was over here. And only by having these very deep experiences could then I feel the integration, so that there's nothing that is separate from the spiritual consciousness that is within me. And the soul within all of us is fully integrated into us. It is for us to do what? Bring our consciousness to it. You have to bring your consciousness to your soul. Your soul is not going to go, hey, I'm right over here. No, darlings. It is in a full level of divine consciousness in such purity and such clarity and such presence that all you have to do is say, I will come unto you. And in that, even saying those words or your own words, I will come unto you, then something else can happen. And that union and communion with the divine that is with soul intention, because your soul is the divine, that is who you are as God. We are fully resident in this God consciousness. And there is not one part of us that is not it. Not one part. And we are being invited to experience that in a full-on, full-body, fully human, fully divine experience without any separation at all whatsoever. And what does that mean in your life? Do you think you'll win the jackpot? That is the jackpot. You think you need $1 million? You already got the $1 million jackpot. You've already got the Ferrari. You've already got everything that you could ever possibly want, need, desire. But of course, it's in the formless. And many people say, well, if it's not in the form, then what is the value of that? Well, have not all of us come to know that when we are fully present in that divine consciousness, that everything in our world changes? We know, we feel that. It is true. It is palpable. And that's what I love so much about what's happening on the earth plane in terms of those of us who choose to have wedded, as it were, our divinity and our humanity in such an extraordinary way that no matter what we do or where we are, no matter what's going on, that's within us. Now, whether or not we choose to express it, that's a choice we make in every moment. A lot of times, I mean, you know, I just walk around. I'm just walking around this body having a really good time. But, you know, unless somebody says, well, you know, you have this, you have that, or, gee, that's interesting, there really isn't a conversation about it. It's how you show up in your presence. Show up and be lovingly present, no matter what it looks like out there or inside yourself. I'll repeat that. Show up and be lovingly present, no matter what it looks like out there or inside yourself. First time I ever went to Las Vegas, there's this great big sign. Show up to win. Right? Show up to win. I went, show up to win, far out. Now, of course, they were talking about roulette or poker or whatever it happened to be. But in this lifetime, you have to show up to win. Now, the showing up is really important, you know? How are we showing up? And when the divine gave me that teaching, I said, well, I show up a lot. And the divine said, yeah, you do. And there's that other energy that is waiting to show up with you. So, shall we move in our life showing up and having this other level of energy, a radiance, shall we say, that is around us and within us. And wherever we go, I mean, I don't know about you, I'm a happy person. I've always been a happy person, but I'm really a happy person now. And when I'm with people, I have a really hard time not being happy. And they say, could you just stop being happy? I mean, I have friends who say, don't be happy. You know? I say, why not? Because happiness is not part of their energy field. You understand? But when you come to the freedom that comes being fully alive and fully awake, how can you not? They say that you need 12 hugs a day to have really good emotional health. 12 hugs a day. So Michelle and I start morning hug, midday hug, lunch hug. Oh, there he is again, hug, you know, hug, hug. And telling people that you care about them, honoring them. And someone said to me the other day, have you praised someone today? I went, ooh, no, I have not praised someone today. I think I better put that on my list. I need to praise someone every day, you know? Have you? I haven't. I've given thanks. I've given compliments. I've smiled. I've embraced. I've loved. But have I just praised? Have I just said, you know, this is what's so beautiful and wonderful about you. You know, what is that praise? I never had praise when I was growing up. Never knew what it was. Never heard the words, I love you. Didn't know what that was. Didn't know, I support you. Didn't know what that was. I had to learn all those things later. But praise, I thought, whoa! I mean, I've got to do the praise thing now. Make that part of the soul way that I may express who I am more and more fully, however that might be. And I honor that in so doing, you know, when we say to someone, you did a really good job. I mean, that means a lot. You did a beautiful job. This is wonderful. This adds something to my life. Thank you. Just those little things that mean so much. And often we just let the moment fly by. We don't pay attention because we're either in a hurry or, you know, all that stuff that goes on. But truly, living soulfully, your moment to moment to moment to moment. And where you want to stay is in the moment. The ego always wants the past or the future. And when the storyteller, who is your ego, conscious mind, begins to tell its story, it's usually about something in the past, and you go, oh, yarn, 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 y'all chew that bone again. Or something in the future that you say, I really want this, and why isn't it that way, and gosh, how can I make that change? You know what I'm saying? So we're always here, 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 but right here is where the action is, to be there in the moment. And in the Course in Miracles, they call it the holy instant. That holy instant, that place where you just are moment, 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 moment. And often when my ego conscious mind wants to tell that story, one of those stories again, I say, listen, thank you for that. I've heard that story a lot. I'm pretty wedded to that story, actually. And if you could just let go of that story and let's think another thought. And then whatever that thought is has to come from the right side of my brain, not the left side of my brain, because the ego conscious mind is on the left side of your brain, and it's going to, what I call, run the rag. It's going to run its rag and keep running its rag, story after story after story. So if I want the thought to change, first I want to thank my ego conscious mind. It does a really great job. Then I want to ask my soul through the right side of my brain to give me a thought that then I can then give to my ego and say, let us bring that into full flower. Please take this thought and just do it for me. And boy, can my ego do that. It knows how to do that. But I have to give it the right vibration and stimulus for it to begin moving that energy in a totally different way. So often it is a brand new story, a brand new way of looking at something that before it was just, do you know what I'm saying? Running that same old thought pattern over and over again. And the other aspect that I'd like to bring forward here is because we are so involved with thought, I would like to invite us between now and next week to open our consciousness and be aware of those souls who come both bidden and unbidden to us. Now, let us say, and this happens for me often, where a friend of ours, many of you know Eve has since passed on, but she came to me in a fabulous dream last night, but she will come from time to time. And I'll say, oh, Eve, hi. How you doing, Eve? Gosh, it's so nice of you to come and visit me. I appreciate it. And it's the thought of her or her presence that is in my mind. And it comes and I acknowledge it. The same thing is true, and that's unbidden. I do not bid her. She comes unbidden to me. Then I have individuals who may already be who may still be an embodiment, who come. Don't they come to you? You know, friends, family. They just come. And you go, I hope now you will acknowledge them and say, thank you for coming. Thank you. You know, how I appreciate you and love you and the fact that you have come into my mind, into my thoughts. How grateful I am that I can have this moment with you. And then, often, if I feel drawn to call, for instance, this lovely dancer friend of mine who's having this great energy around compassion, I will call her to come in. And I'll call her into my consciousness. And she will come, of course, instantaneously. She's there. And I'll say, you know, I'm just so happy for you. And I can feel how the consciousness of compassion is changing the energy within you. So while we're sitting here together, invite someone to come in that you haven't seen in a very long time. It doesn't make any difference whether in embodiment or out of embodiment. Just invite them in. You can close your eyes or keep your eyes open. Just invite them in. And when you feel complete, just give thanks to them for coming and for sharing this moment with you. So I want to acknowledge all those wondrous beings who came into our consciousness and how grateful I am that we have that capacity to call anyone in that we wish to have union and communion with. And when they come unbidden and we are mindful and have conscious awareness of their presence, and we can then bless them and thank them for coming into our consciousness. Because even those who are in the formless, who have passed out of the body, they have great connections with us, deep connections, many of them. And we can be connected with them in so many beautiful ways while we're still in the body. And for me, great healing has occurred with many of these souls who have come in. Some of them, because I knew that I had not completed with them. I had not asked for forgiveness around something, or there was something that they were going to share with me by coming again while I'm an embodiment and can work with them. There are also moments when I realize a gift that perhaps someone had given me that is part of who I am now, and I had never really acknowledged them. I had a second mother. When I was growing up, she lived in the house next door. And when my mother had to go be with my sister, who was very ill, she had to go to another country. And we did not have a mother for many months at a time over many, many years. And so our next door neighbor became our second mother. And my older sister and I, at different times, we would, you know, we had to go down this gully and up this little hill and cross this little bridge, you know, and get to our neighbor's house. It was really, you know, sort of like Red Robin Hood. And we would go, and we never went there together, but she became the one that we could go to and just be who we were and how loving and wonderful it was. She's now 91 years old, and she has Alzheimer's, and she's living in Florida. She was in Georgia, and now she's in Florida. And both Louise and I, my older sister and myself, we both honor her. Her name is Terry. We honor her because she filled a huge place, a huge void that only her preciousness could fill. And how grateful we were to have her as our second mother. And often now, because she's getting ready to make her transition, often now she will come unbidden. And I will just say to her, Terry, I'm just so grateful and thankful for you. Because there were times in that place of aloneness, I had a dog that certainly saved my life on many occasions just by being so lovingly present. But also having Terry as that loving, nurturing woman who was always there for us. And how grateful I was that the divine had created that, you know, that wonderful way of giving us the nurturance that my sister and I needed during those years. And there are many, many, many people in our lives who pass through, sometimes just for a flick of a moment, and others, as Terry, who will be with me until I pass, you know? And regardless of whether she's in the form of the formless, it won't make any difference. And if we begin to open to all those in the formless who really just want to be held and acknowledged in love, that's all. And they may come for a moment, or they may come in and out. You just never know. But if we're open to it, then the blessing of being able to work with those who are in form and formlessness. My first experience with this was when Anwar Sadat was killed. And I hadn't really been keeping up with the news. But I was just, you know, doing my prayers one night. And it was as though he had just come right into the room. But it was in my consciousness, not, you know, as I'm describing it. But it came into my consciousness and I was taken aback. I thought, who is this person? And then I said to him, you look really familiar to me. And he said, I've been in the news. I went, oh, this is very far out. And it was to hold him, because when there's been a sudden death, it's very wonderful if you can be with the souls. Whenever there is a plane crash or, you know, any kind of anything that you read about or know about or it comes into your consciousness, to simply hold energetically all the souls. Now, they have a soul agreement to leave together, all right? There are no accidents. They have an agreement to leave together. And because it is very sudden, often there isn't a true knowing of, I've passed. It comes, but it is slower than those of us who say, I'm preparing to pass, and I am passing. And to be able to hold them in our consciousness and in our hearts is a very, very great service and very loving, very, very loving. And because there is so much war on the planet at this time, part of my practice every day is to hold all those who are leaving or who have left in the day. And when I make the calls and we sit in the silence, you know, one of the things that I talk about or and I say after the silence is all the souls who are in the embodiment, all the souls who are leaving the embodiment, all the souls who are coming into the embodiment. The other aspect of being able to work with individuals, if you know someone who's going to have a baby, it's really wonderful to honor the baby that's going to be born and to honor the mother and the baby in that is awaiting birth. And then, after the baby has been born, to honor the soul that has come into embodiment, you know? Because often it's just, oh, well, the baby's been born, isn't that good? And then everybody gives a present and then everybody goes home. But to give an awareness, to honor that soul, to honor that soul who's made the decision to come into the embodiment, you know? And to honor the mother for having been the one who's carried that soul, quite literally, as it has grown in the fetus until the baby is born. So for me, it isn't just how my soul is unto itself, but how we open and expand and allow and bring unto us so many extraordinary beings of light who will come both bidden and unbidden unto us. And part of our service is just to be. We don't have to do anything, just to be with those beautiful souls. And if that doesn't work in your world, please don't do it. But if it works in your world, then feel comfortable to do it. And often, when the big fire occurred here, that I was living in the Summerlin house, I invited everyone who had been affected by the fire, and we knew several people, to come to the house, and we would simply be together and honor. Not only, it's hard to say that these catastrophes are in divine order, but they are. Everything is in divine order. And part of it was to create more community. And in many of the disasters, it has created community that could never have been created without that huge movement of energy happening and cutting across all levels of human life. It's incredible. But, and if we are willing to hold the big picture of what's really going on, we then have the capacity to embrace every disaster, every everything, because that's our love, you see. Our love has that capacity. And our love is endless. My practice used to be that I would just send my love, you know, and to the house I lived in, and then to the city, and then to the state, and then to the United States, and then out over the oceans, and then all over the globe, and then just to hold the globe of the earth. And then the divine said, well, that's wonderful. Now let's go further. I went, sure. So then I'd go out through our solar system and then out into all the universes and then out beyond the beyond, I call it, going beyond all and holding it where there it appears to be empty, but of course it's not, and out there and just holding all of that and knowing that it is all love. And then returning back into this body of mine and realizing that as I have gone out there, it just appears I come back here, but where am I? I'm all the way out there, and I'm all the way back in here. As far as you extend your consciousness, that's how far you are. And how deep you go within, and what are the realms of consciousness in the formless that you wish to be part of. And all you have to do is say, okay, I'm ready. And it begins. And if it's not your thing, don't do it. I simply mention it because I realize that there's several people in this room who have great capacities in expanding their consciousness. And if we are willing to do that and make it a practice to hold all that is, not just the things that are beautiful, darling, but everything, everything. The divine didn't say, I'm just going to make this little thing over here. The divine said, I'm making all of this. And who are we right now in this moment that can say, yes, I can be one with all that is. And to realize that this is just one teensy, weensy, eensy, beensy little moment. It's so tiny, you can hardly find it, you know, in the greatness of all that is. And we sit here and we say, I'm right here and this is really important. Well, actually, no. But it is only important if and we are opening it to the aspect of all that is, you see, to all that is love and all that is compassion and everything that that will hold, regardless of what it looks like out there or inside ourselves. I will be lovingly present and I will show up no matter what it looks like, out there or inside myself. Now that's huge. That is a huge thing to say. And if it doesn't work for you, don't do it. Only work for what works for you. Only do what makes your heart sing. You have to be true to what is real for you. My reality happens to be very formless. And I love being in form, but it's just about that much. You know, this world is just about that much. And the rest of it is this other big thing. Now, I'm sure that isn't for everyone, but I talk about it because then it can go, you know. And like the rubber band, if I let go, it's going to stay exactly like that. It will not contract. And then I can go, well, stays just like that. And then I go, well, and it stays just like that. It'll go as far out, as far in, as far high, as surrounding as you want it to be. And many people want the world to be such that they feel they're in control of the world. And so the circle is very small. And remember, I've talked about the ring pass knot. Many people have a very small ring pass knot. And as we grow in consciousness, guess what? That ring pass knot gets greater and greater and greater and wider and bigger and stronger. And eventually, it is no longer the ring pass knot. It is the ring of all that is. You've gone way beyond and into another realm of energy altogether. Okay? So how does that feel? Okay, now, let's go in for a while and see how that feels. So we're going to set our timer. I'll make the calls. And when we finish with the ending, when I say the final words after our silence, then I'm going to go right into the hum. So for those of you who haven't been here before, what we do after we sit in silence, which is a short period of time, then I make some calls at the end, and then we'll simply hum. And the hum, as you're humming it, if you would allow it to go into every cell of your body, let it resonate in through your heart, and let it just continually expand, expand, expand. And the more you go out, the deeper you will go in. Thank you. I'd like to make the calls. I call now for the light of the divine to create a perfect circle of love, light, peace, and joy around all who are present here in the physical and also on the inner planes. I wish to acknowledge and give thanks for all souls who gathered to be with us, whether in or out of embodiment, and for the radiance in which we find ourselves. Thank you. I call now for the infilling and indwelling of the divine within all of our bodies, planes, and cells. I acknowledge and give thanks for this and for the divine consciousness that is available to us 24 hours a day unceasingly. Thank you. I call now that we enter into the serene center of our being within our hearts, and there we enter the silence, allowing ourselves to fall more deeply still in love with the divine which we are. Thank you. And I open my heart, and I bring you, beloved Mother Earth, Gaia, into my heart. Thank you, Mother, for the exquisite manifestation of divine love, which is expressing in you, through you, and as you. Thank you, Mother, for loving us and nurturing us through each and every one of our embodiments. Thank you, Mother. I love you. And I open my heart and I bring you, beloved elementals of earth, air, fire, and water, into my heart. Thank you, dear ones. Thank you for the exquisite manifestation of divine love, which is expressing in you, through you, and as you. And thank you for your union and communion with Mother Earth, and your union and communion within every cell of our physical body. For without you, we could not exist upon the earth plane. Thank you. I love you. And I open my heart and I bring the whole of humanity into my heart. Thank you, beloved souls. All souls who are in the embodiment now, Thank you. I love you. All souls who are leaving the embodiment now, thank you. I love you. And all souls who are coming into the embodiment now, thank you. I love you. And thank you, my soul. Thank you. I love you. Thank you, dear beloved souls, for the exquisite manifestation of divine love which is expressing in you, through you, and as you. Thank you. I love you. And now we'll begin the hum. And I call in our eyes. Well, when the divine first brought this forward and said, ask everybody to hum, I went, I beg your pardon. But I always follow directions. I'm really good about that. So I said, okay, let's all hum. And this room in particular is wonderful because you're getting it on all levels, you know, up and down and through and from the floor. And I do want to continue with this practice, and I know that part of what's happening when we're humming, because I, you know, after each of our gatherings, I say, okay, tell me what was really going on. And part of that is integration. And when we're humming, because we're mindless, I'm assuming no one was thinking in your little, you know, we weren't having a storyteller. I mean, all I can do is just hum. And then I tune. You know, it goes out, and then it gets large because then I feel the whole group, and then I feel the breath of the group because people are breathing at different times. So there's this wonderful breath going on, and then I feel what's going on in my body. I mean, you know, there are these. It's very multidimensional for me. I get it in here, but then I can just feel it. And then as the humming goes in and out, you know, because someone else will be humming as I'm breathing in and then I'm breathing out and they're humming. And oh my, it's quite remarkable. So I want to continue with that. And just as an experiment, we could practice at home just humming ourselves, by ourselves, and as we're humming, connect with the group soul body so that the hum that we're resonating down through our cells is also resonating through the group soul body, because all you have to do is think of the group soul body, and of course that's where it is. And as a result of going more deeply individually into our feeling aspect, but also expanding into the group soul body, then as we come together, the moment we're in the room, the hum's going to start. We won't even be humming, and it'll already start because we're putting it in this room. And anybody who comes in the room, of course, they won't know what's happening, but we know what's happening, which is the hum will remain here. And I used to do the practice when I was in a small circle. This was in the early days of my own evolution in consciousness. And I would just Even if I didn't know the people in the room, when I would sit to do my inner work, I would just hold everyone, and that's when I saw the group soul body. I had not been taught the group soul body. I learned the group soul body through doing my inner work and seeing all the souls of all the people who were in the room coming into the room, in my room. And I went, wow, this is the group soul body. Look what's happening here. So we are the group soul body holding this energy. And wherever you go, we're all we're all tagging along behind, you know, or in front or within or however it happens to be for you. And I think the humming also, and I asked, my father had said to me, Mary, you might not make it as a dancer, so you have to have something to fall back on. Because he had grown up during the Depression, and you had to have something to fall back on. And being an artist was like, you know, this kind of energy. So I said, well, I might be a good doctor. So I took pre-med and did all that jazz. And I asked about how is this humming working in kinesiology and physiology and all that good stuff. And I was told, you see, when you're taking the breath and your lungs are right back here and your heart's here, and you take the breath and you're expanding here and you're also expanding here, and the vibration, because these are two huge power centers, your lung and your heart, and because you're doing the in-breath, and the in-breath is the mother, and the out-breath is the father. So when you are doing the that's the father, and the is the mother. The mother is bringing you the energy so that the father can then make the sound. And the vibration is so powerful because this rib cage, those ribs are holding this energy, and you are just feeling this vibration. It's just fantastic what's really going on with your body when you do this simple thing. And I never even, you know, I hadn't ever clicked before until the divine said, start humming. You don't have to know all that, but I had to ask the question. I said, why? Where is the power? This power, you know, and this is our power. You know, your center is holding everything, but the power of the heart and the lungs and the connection of the breath of life and the heartbeat of your heart and all of that vibrating as you're humming. That is pretty far out. And then, I don't know about you, but down, I mean, right down the extremities, down. And I haven't focused on the crown chakra yet. I want to do that on my own and then see what happens when we're in the group. So if there's a particular area that you've been working on, either in the chakras or in a place, you know, if you get headaches or if you've got something going on with your body, direct the humming, you know. Hum and let that energy go into that particular area that you want to work on. And see what happens in a week's time. And then when we come back, because when two or more are gathered, the energy is multiplied 10,000 times 10,000 times, which means exponentially we've already gone into the forever. Okay? Two or more, that's all it takes. So I'm going to hum, Michelle will be humming, and I'll be humming, and we'll be out in the exponential, okay? So understand, with this number of people, 10,000 times 10,000 times, 10,000 times, 10,000 times. We've already gone into the infinite, into the formless. And you, did you hear, did anybody? See, this is what happens to me. We are here in the silence, okay? Uh-huh. Did anybody hear the fellow who's talking in here? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We had somebody visiting, and they were having a little something happening. And I went, well, thank you for joining us. And I expect there'll be more, and you may be aware of it, you may not, and that's perfectly all right. But because if you're interested, you want to invite people, you know, who are in form or formlessness to come into your consciousness, people you know, people you don't know, if you're open to having that experience, well, it's all love, and it will be very beautiful. And if that's not your thing, don't do it. Don't ever do anything that doesn't make your heart sing, okay?